Hello and welcome to episode 579 of the League Rundown. This is your 2025 LTA Split 3 Playoffs Week 2 review and LEC Split 3 Playoffs Week 3 preview. This episode is lovingly entitled, Normality Restored. That's because we finally were able to get vengeance for the Kalungaing that happened last weekend. We'll talk about it more in depth once we get through the news. But before that, let's introduce who's on the cast. I'm your host, Kang, is joined by two esteemed co-hosts. Up first, out of the can, we got Badger.
Imagine being the LPL fourth seed right now. That's crazy.
Also teasing the preview because we have a couple more Worlds teams locked in that we'll cover in just a moment. But before that, we also have joining us, unfortunately, a very sad boy. We got Random Minion Caster.
Yeah, we got a candidate this week. Beaten like the dogs.
Candidate? Wait, is that like, is that what being on like when red candidates do poorly?
No, that's what that's called? But if we went Kalungaing the week before, then we got candidate this week.
You know what? I like that. You know, there's two sides of the red coin.
There's yes.
Canadine yourselves, Canadine your trousers, and then Kalungaing.
Wait, are wolves canids?
I don't know. Their mascot is like a wolf or
it's
a fox.
It's a fox, yeah. No,
right?
I was just thinking the meme that there are two wolves. there are two canids in the
two wolves inside. Two red candidates. We'll talk about how the LTA games went. That was a little teaser of how confident the North is going to be going into finals weekend. But before that, let's get around the world news because there's a couple more teams qualified for Worlds. Badger, you already teased it. What is another team now confirmed going to be representing the LCK at Worlds 2025?
So we now know the four LCK teams that are going to be representing Korea at Worlds. The only one that has their seed locked at this point is T1, and they will be the fourth seed after beating Damwon last week and then losing to Gen G 3-2 in a great series. So the finals are coming up slowly but surely. It's Hanwha in the grand finals, but KT and Gen G are playing. Loser is the third seed, presumably speaking. I actually, you know what? I'm not going to do this because the last time I did this, KT won. So that'd actually be a banger narrative of Gen G being the third seed coming from LCK. And then it's just like, huh, that's crazy.
That
good
would
luck
be
to whatever
insane.
NA1 team. Because it's technically, wait, who's the region that doesn't have a pool one seed?
I don't know if it's been determined or if like we can see that. I'm gonna assume that it's NA though, just based on like historical.
I figured LCP did a little better. I think the pool one.
Yeah, I think was it RMC? Were you the one that was doing the math based on like MSI performance last week? I remember on the episode somebody was talking about it that like technically there's an argument that LCP did better than us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and since EU got two teams into the group stage, you actually got out
of the
play-ins.
Gen G is gonna lose to KT. FlyQuest is gonna draw them round one, and we're gonna get fucking Gen G FlyQuest as like the opening match of Worlds this year. That would be insane.
Imagine. Or the actual reality is it's gonna be whatever seed two LPL team is gonna get them.
Oh, it's
gonna do the classic where we play against like EU,
lose
to China,
it's Gen G versus
beat LCP, lose
legend
to Korea, beat EU again to make it in. That's just that's how we do it, baby. Just luck of the draw, luck of the draw.
Yeah.
So T1 is fourth seed. We're still waiting on seeding between Gen G, KT, and HLE.
HLE is guaranteed at least top two, so they are going to get a favorable matchup in round one of Swiss when it comes to Worlds.
But LPL also had a team qualify in. We're still waiting for half of their teams qualified, but Anyone's Legend is joining BLG. Last week, we only had BLG. Now Anyone's Legend will also join them. They have two more seeds. Expectations, I'm still hearing things like Top Esports are heavily favored to make it into there. And then it's still kind of a couple different names in the conversation for who that fourth team
is. So TES plays IG. I guess I'll do this because I'm looking at it right now because I was curious about it because I couldn't remember the four teams that were in there. TES, Top Esports, plays IG. The winner of that is going to Worlds guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And then JDG are playing Weibo in the quote-unquote lower bracket game. Winner of that makes it to the... Actually, so TES versus IG winner is the third seed from LPL. And then the loser of TESIG plays winner of JDG via Weibo Gaming. And that determines the fourth seed. And whoever gets their cheeks clapped by T1 most likely, because Riot will not let that team falter in the play, and they will
they're gonna hit the buff them 10% damage button. The skin
they're gonna hit the modifiers handy button, and yeah. T1 is going to win that fourth versus fourth seed matchup. I will put decent money on it at this point. There's no shot that Riot's gonna let them not make it. Plus, I think T1 is going in better than any of those four teams that I just mentioned from the LPL.
So what I'm hearing not is that I am Ryzen condoning gambling.
Not that I am. I yes, I agree.
But
I'm not.
If there ever
gambling
were a match to put money on, I might agree with you. It would be that one. Not condoning it. Not condoning it. For
definitely
else
not condoning
out
it.
Not condoning it. But you know, think about it.
just think about it.
Well, that's. LTA, we also had one more team locked in here. It was 100 Thieves based on their performance this past weekend. So congratulations, 100 Thieves have qualified for Worlds as well. But we're still waiting on one final team from the LEC. So there are three teams yet to be locked in for Worlds, two
it's
LPL
two
seeds.
LPL,
and
yeah, okay, I was going to say, was it two LPL and then the LEC team? Okay, yeah.
Yes, because we already had Team Secret Whales qualify
that's
last
right
week for LCP.
Yeah. Secret so Whales.
Oysters, PSG Talon, and Team Secret Whales.
Well,
love that. Honestly, seeding going into it, I hate to break it to everybody, but Team Secret Whales might be my favorite team name going into Worlds at this point.
Dude, wait till you see their logo, okay?
The logo is fantastic.
Yeah, LCP got their seeding confirmed. They had their grand finals.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So the Oysters.
So it is CTBC Flying Oysters first, yep, and Secret Whales second seed, actually. Oh,
yeah.
Well, let's move around the order of the teams on our little handy document then. My apologies, Team Secret Whales. I was unfamiliar with your game.
Wait, yeah, does this mean we could get PSG versus 100 Thieves? Right. Yeah, because they'll be pool three.
Depends on who gets doesn't get the first seed, but mm-hmm, yeah. Or doesn't get.
I hate. Okay. Can we just get the freaking like article that comes out that they normally drop and just be like, here are the teams and what pools they're going to be in at this point? Actually, I'm going to check Lil Esports while we're doing.
Best
this
we can do is confirming the musician for Worlds.
Yeah, you're right. Jem is performing at the finals.
Yep, which I think I've seen some, you know, community sentiment from the West being like, I don't know who this is, but it's hosted in China. It's a Chinese artist. That's fine.
Yeah.
And I have heard, I don't know how much of a spoiler this is, so I will not spoil anything official here. But every year there's multiple artists. Like, it's never like there's the headliner that does like that world song, but they often have other artists around. And from my expectation, there will be other artists there as well. But like, this is the big headliner doing the world song this year, which, you know, it's cool. It makes sense for the region hosting.
And for the
global player base.
I'm curious if you guys
also brought back the old Worlds trophy. They put it in the article.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I totally forgot about that. Thanks for bringing that up. RMC, yeah. Are you a fan of the new one or the old one?
I like the old one. I mean, the old one was, okay, to be honest, kind of ostentatious, but also it just has that history. It has that weight, you know?
Mm-hmm. It really does. I feel like League Esports is at the point where it's been around for like a decade and a half here. So we're just starting to get into this generation where there is legacy. And right when we were getting there, they started changing everything. And I was like, why are we doing this? Like, this is stupid. Like, it's tradition that there's the Summoner's Cup, even if it is, I mean, ostentatious is one way to put it. A little, like, maybe slightly cheesy is, like, the more negative way to put it. It still looked cool. Yeah. It was iconic. And same thing with, like, LCS, right? It's like, now we changed the name, changed the branding, and, like, it just doesn't feel like you throw away the history by doing that. That's kind of what the old trophy or the
okay, I just looked it up because I was curious.
Now,
you ready?
To the old one. Yeah?
The article that Riot put out last year before Worlds that was the, hey, here's everything you need to know about Worlds going into it. Came out on September 9th last year.
Oh my goodness. It's September 22nd. Although Worlds is starting later this year than it's a couple weeks later.
So
a three split thing.
I will say September 9th and Worlds started the 25th. So that's 2.5 weeks. So
okay. So they've got about
Riot
a week.
Is so consistent
we're
with
still
their
on
stuff.
Track for that though.
Yeah. If it comes out like Friday, then like okay, it makes sense. But like who's what pool? I need to know this. Like Riot, I do the 1,187,000 or whatever it is simulations that Doctor Strange does of the Swiss groups with flashcards every year about how FlyQuest can get out and all this other stuff. Like I need this in so far in advance.
It is really fun to geek out over it. I think the earlier they get it out, the better. But we are still on track because Worlds is starting later this year than it did last year. But we'll keep our eyes to the pulse, or fingers to the pulse there, because if they slip up, we will write a letter, you know, very strongly worded, and let them know how we feel about it. I don't think that we have any power over
it. I could send you something, and you could point it in the right direction of somebody.
Yeah, we just need to petition our local closest Riot employee / contractor. Sir Bud Dick.
No, this is what we do. We get our Discord. I'll put in Mark Zimmerman's, the commissioner of LTA. I'll put his email in our Discord, and then everyone can email him. And we'll like come up with copy that we can all put out together and just spam his emails. That'd be great. It's like emailing your congressman, right? It's like same concept.
True. Definitely won't be emailing him a job application. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you want to do that too, I mean, maybe include it before, maybe or later. I don't know. Maybe use a burner email for the constructive criticism one. I don't want you to hurt your chances. Anyway, still three teams yet to be locked for Worlds. We'll keep our eyes on that because we should know by next week. I believe every team will be decided by then. Some roster news as well. Impact. Big story just dropped today, the day of this recording for the podcast. Impact's contract was up at the end of the year. We already knew that. And Team Liquid put out a video confirming they are saying goodbye, moving on from Impact. I don't think this is a big surprise to anybody, unless Badger, you're the big Team Liquid guy. Is this a surprise for you?
Oh no, it wasn't. I saw it coming. I mean, I've already put in my like my prediction for like the TL roster next year, just based on like what I want / what seems feasible. And
okay,
so I feel like we've had this conversation.
We've had it a few times, and there was I wanted to do like a dedicated episode proper to like, okay, off season, where do we think a lot of these freelancers, specifically the 100 Thieves players, are going to go?
But the problem is
announcements are probably going to start coming out as soon as like, well, now the 100 Thieves are going to Worlds, maybe that's going to be delayed a little bit longer. But like we also are probably going to lose content because people are going to be confirmed. So yeah, just throw out what's your dream roster? Like what's your prediction for Team Liquid next year?
So my prediction going into it, and this is half speculation, half stuff that I think could be feasible. Surti or Dokla top lane.
Okay.
Yuji in the jungle, because I think he still just needs another chance. He just needed time. Quid or, hear me out, Showmaker.
Whoa.
Steve wanted Faker back in the day when franchising started. Didn't get him. 7 years later, gets one of the four horsemen from Korea to come over.
I mean, that would be banger.
That would
okay.
be insane. I don't see it happening.
If
That's
Liquid
why I said
Liquid doesn't
quit.
Have money to set up a booth at LTA finals. I don't know if they've got money to get Showmaker. Just saying.
No, they're saving the money because they
they're
already
saving
have
the money.
Okay,
they
okay.
They're
okay.
Paying Showmaker. Right yeah.
Thanks, Showmaker, for Team Liquid not having a booth. Confirmed.
And then just Yon and Ayla bot lane again. Reunite the boys.
Ooh, Ayla. Yeah. Okay.
I think that's pretty hype. See, I think that's just the most likely TL thing at this point is for them to just be like, Ayla, come home. Like, I know, because who knows if Core's going to play next year? Like,
his contract. So the two contracts that were up at the end of the year were Impact and Core. And with Spawn kind of not being sure if he's going to be coaching again for Team Liquid, and also was doing like the full remote coaching this year. That did not work. Mm-hmm. I could see a world where Korb retires and becomes a coach. I mean, it's always been something that I think we expected him to do at some point.
Oh, yeah. Whenever he retires, he's either going to go into broadcast or he's going to be a coach, but it's probably going to be coach.
And so if he does, I think Ayla would make a lot of sense. He won multiple Proven Grounds in Tier 2 with Yon, like the big title that you can win in Tier 2. And he was literally side-by-side with Yon during like their development in the Tier 2 system. So you could definitely see that happening. I don't think Showmaker's likely. Also, even Quid, I think he's going to be the number one most sought-after player. Yeah. Again, we'll talk more about this in a dedicated episode. So I think it's going to be tough for any team because every team's going to want him. So we'll see where he ends up. But that is at least the confirmed news. Impact is out. Team Liquid will guaranteed be looking for a top laner for next year. Outside of that, I didn't see any roster news. Sometimes I miss it, especially over in EU, just because that stuff doesn't pop up on my Twitter feed. So if we miss anything else, you know what to do, everybody. Let us know in the community Discord. You can add us in there. And if you have not yet joined, make sure to join. The link is in the description wherever you are listening along. Also, if you want to support the pod, you can do so through the Patreon or the merch store. Both of those are also linked in the description. Have we missed anything else, RMC, Badger? Are we good to move on?
I
think we've done enough vamping before we before we get to the bully beatdowns of the week.
Yeah, I was really trying to give RMC time to emotionally prepare for this because, woo, baby, 6-0 Brazil, go back home, get out of here. Hell yeah, the North is the best. With that said, it was awesome having the Brazilian teams here. I don't mean any disrespect by that, but goddamn, does it feel good to finally like come back after the Red Cannons fiasco that happened the week before. I was so nervous going into this weekend thinking, okay, Gakko is for FlyQuest. That's going to be shaky. 100 Thieves play a sloppy style of league. Red also play the same style. Maybe they have trouble there. But RMC, what happened this past weekend?
Well, honestly, the South fell apart. That was one of the worst showings I've seen from both of these rosters, which is kind of crazy. The Cage Stars won to a certain extent. I don't feel like they have a good excuse for going 0-15. But hey, props to Gakkos, man. Young player, you know, I didn't think he would out bowl bowl with an Irelia. That pick was wild, and I absolutely love it. It's a bowl specialty as well, by the way. So it feels doubly bad that bowl just got smacked on it. Huge props to FlyQuest. I think Cade is a team that bounces back, so I'm fingers crossed, hoping that they recover from that spanking. But I also do keep in mind that they are not only that they have to travel up to LA, they're now traveling down to Dallas as well. So it's kind of like nonstop moving, which can be hard to bounce back from.
That is a lot of movement. Yeah. And I'm happy that you already gave credit to him. I want to give a lot of credit to Gakkos. He had a fantastic series. They really prioritized getting him comfort picks in draft. He played the Irelia. He played
Jax and Aatrox.
And what was the other?
Jax.
Yeah. So three carry champions he got to play. Didn't have to play the Rumble, which is awesome because that's like all that you had played so far, the two games on stage previously for FlyQuest. And they really made sure that he was like able to play his game of League of Legends. It's exactly what you wanted to see for Surti on Dignitas, which they did not do. But then when he went to Lion, suddenly it was like, ooh, he looks a lot better. I was getting reminiscence of that, but it's just everybody else in FlyQuest is so good also. They were able to still dominate. And Badger, like you barely notice a difference between like Bwipo and Gakkos in these
games. No, because I think a lot of the thing that I notice in FlyQuest, and one of the things that I just like really, really when I watch them play the game is just how inspired and Quad just can take over the map. Like you have the best jungler in the West, and you have this mid laner that's, you know, might be contending for best mid or if not top three mids in the West, just running the map with a stable bot lane, and you can have a coin flip in the top lane because it doesn't matter what happens at that point. This team just inspired and Quad just, if this team has any sort of success at Worlds, it's going to come off of these twos back. Like, genuinely speaking, they can hold up against some of the Korean or Chinese mid jungles and make games very interesting when we get to Worlds. Because like God, it's just so, they're just so good. I mean, this inspired Trundle pick, him being able to wait till like game three to pull it out because he's just got so much other shit, and then just being like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna, you know, just drop bombs on fucking Trundle every time I get it. Just like, having picks like that in his pocket is insane to have when you come into international play like this.
It was like almost the exact same as the finals for the North Conference versus 100 Thieves, where he gets like three ganks off in the first 4 minutes and is still farming and just like
does a full clear, gets so a crab efficient. And gets a gank off in jump. Each lane. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't even feel like his ganks are a sacrifice at all. Like, he's still able to farm at insane speeds. Like, this guy's ability to min-max jungle is something that every NA jungler needs to study. I know that, like, watching tape of other people in our region isn't something that a lot of people do. And I talk to pros, are always like, oh, I watch LCK or I watch LPL. It's like, no, dude, watch Inspired. Like, you need to learn what this guy's doing and why he's doing it, because he's so efficient.
Yeah. And I really like that they create the space for Masu to scale as well. Because, mm-hmm. Masu's team fighting is still insanely good to me. Like, his laning.
His positioning is really good.
Yeah. Like, the Misfortune game, I feel like, really exemplifies that. I mean, the Jhin game as well. But the Misfortune one, where he gets to just kind of do whatever he wants, the bullet times are always set up beautifully for him. Like, he knows when to go in, and he's. And there wasn't like a. There was the Nico hard CC for him, and Busio got some disgusting ultimates that game. But at the same time, it's also like. Yeah, I think Masu just knows how to position really well in team fights, and if Inspired and Quad just give him time, and they can just pick skilling picks to, let Masu just pop off. And Inspired and Quad will go up really well, I think, against international jungle mids. But if you get Masu to the late, I think he starts matching up against international bot lanes as well.
And I love that he's with Busio, who right now is like, the best support in the Western Hemisphere as well. Like, I think that we have the best jungler and best support in the West. Busio is like, this is his, what's the word I'm looking for? Not renaissance. Well, maybe renaissance. Renaissance more is like, you know, a comeback term, but like, Busio is at his peak that we've ever seen him as a player right now, and it looks damn good. He got player of the series for that series in the 3-0. And also, I didn't cover it earlier, but FlyQuest pretty much swept, or almost swept, first team all pro. Quad got second team. Quid from 100 Thieves actually got first team all pro, but everybody else was first team all pro in their respective positions, save for Gakkos, of course, who that was Bwipo that took first team for FlyQuest, but again, barely even noticed the difference between Gakkos and Bwipo there. So, FlyQuest are still the kind of raid bosses of the entire region, of the entire cross conference of the West. So, they quick, smooth sailing to finals. VKS did not put up much competition, but RMC, from your perspective, you already said VKS is a team that can bounce back. How do you feel like they performed at certain points? Like, was there any spark or any like sign of life that you saw in them of like, okay, yes, they can do better now in the lower bracket?
I mean, individually, I think the bot lane of Morteus, well, actually, to be fair, more Morteus than Trimby, because Trimby was roaming around a lot. But I think
Trimby was getting gapped. But
he was. I feel like Inspired just went, oh, old teammate, let's show him why, you know, I was the carrier in that team. I think Morteus showed that he still had skill. But the rest of the team, I think, really struggled and fell apart. This series didn't really showcase anything great about Cade Stars. If anything, I think it just exposed them a little bit that. Before Miru came in for Cade, they had Kissy from Oceania, who was kind of hit or miss, more miss than hit. And Miru really tied this team together. But I think he's struggling with like the same problem that Kazuya is right now, where when they get outmatched like significantly in lane, their impact just, it's non-existent. And Miru looked like a traffic cone against Quad. So I fear that we might see similar things against Quid River.
Okay, well, not the highest confidence for VKS, but we'll see, especially once we get into our predictions here. The other series was 100 Thieves versus Red, and this was also a 3-0, but in a very different fashion, because this, I don't know if it actually broke the record for bloodiest series on average, but I know that on average it was above a 1 kill per minute series. All three games were above 1 kill per minute. It was like 1.15, 1.3 something, and then 1.2 something. And yeah, these teams just fought tooth and nail.
Scrapping around the world. Just it was insane. Like
it was crazy. The first couple minutes of each of the games was like a little slow, except for was it game two where 100 Thieves just turned their brain off and like try and contest a level one Braum and just get completely punished for it. That was ridiculous. But other than that game, they were actually really slow starts and like not as much action. But then once like the objective started coming up, then there was like, okay, now we're gonna fight for everything on the map, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I think that the match played out how it like the kill score was expected because, well, like we said, 100 Thieves are playing the South way, which is they've never seen a fight they don't like, and the South's just like, bet we haven't either. So the blood was expected. But I think what was this was the more depressing match for South fans because VKS getting spanked, that's Fly. We expected it. We didn't think any of the teams would be able to beat Fly necessarily. But 100 Thieves should have been beatable. And two things. First, 100 Thieves has been skilling up throughout the split. And then I think this series was also one of the best series. They played the macro really well. Their lane swaps were perfectly played in order to nullify what Red should have been able to do. But Red didn't even show up. Like, that wasn't Red Canids. That was, like, Red Academy or, like, Red Trainees or something. Like, the guys who showed up did not know how to play League of Legends. They knew how to team fight. They knew how to right-click and do mechanics. But they seemed to have forgotten what minions were, CS was, wave states were, dragons, Herald, Grubs. Never heard of them. It was just like...
They also seemed to just, like, there was, like, a black bar anytime Quid was on screen where they just couldn't see him.
Censored.
So Quid just ran this series, dude. He had a 55 KDA. He died one time across three games. This was, like, one of the marquee Quid performances off of the week before where he hits the five-man... Or 2 weeks before where he hits the five-man Yone ult, like... Oh, man, that was... Quid is just having, like, the split of his career right now, and I think fully deserved that first team All-Pro. And Kaze looked really good against Palafox. He was bodying Palafox. He looked like a child against Quid.
Yeah. And what does this mean for how Shopify's season, you know, how it quickly derailed after, you know... the series last week, it just really, in retrospective, maybe, oh, I guess C9 lost to this Shopify too, so like you can't really say anything.
I mean, it's just I'll a tell bunch you what of it means.
Cablet, what's up?
What it means is Palafox is lucky if he's got a starting position next year because
100%,
the difference in performance for midlaners, either he's going to have to do some real, real solid off-season grinding to improve, or he's going to have to just get lucky that the team is just like desperate for somebody, because I think it showed he was the weakness of Shopify all year long, especially once Fudge started playing better, and then he just gets gapped by this, like, very young... I'm not going to call Kaze a rookie because he's got the most experience out of, like, the three new guys on Red. But still, like, that's not what we should have seen from that mid-matchup. And then seeing what Quid was able to do to Kaze, you're like, oh, yeah, that really highlights the gap here in the mid lane.
If any org should be hiring Showmaker, it's Shopify Rebellion.
Like, and if anyone has the money, it's Shopify Rebellion, which is why I'm like, you know, whenever it comes down to like the Quid argument, I think Shopify Rebellion, they need a mid laner more than TL, and they have more money than TL. So I think that, like, I'm predicting Quid Shopify next year, which I think is real hype. Contracts, Quid. That sounds sick, dude.
That would be a very solid, like, second place team. But I don't think they can necessarily beat FlyQuest, but I do think they'd be a very solid second place team. And at that point, I don't think the South gets a second seed.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, the 100 Thieves Red match, for sure, go back and watch that. You can skip the Fly VKS. That was just FlyQuest out macroing every last inch and then just outperforming as well.
Yeah, if you want wish fulfillment, watch that
one. The 100 Thieves Red match was insane. We got a Quid pentakill like minutes after he fat fingers Zonia's and just like goes golden idol for nothing.
Wait, did he confirm it was fat fingered and it wasn't like a...
I talked to him after the series. I was like, so what happened there? He was like, I hit it on accident. I was like, really? He was like, yeah. And I'm pretty sure last time I played Silas, I did the same thing. And I was like, what is it about Silas? He's like, man, I just hitting buttons, man. It's so funny.
But I do think this really exposes sort of the South, in that the mid laners in the South suck. I'm going to be honest. Kaze is great. Well, he's the best thing coming out of the South in the mid lane right now. And he's from Argentina.
I thought Miru was still considered like the number one mid laner.
He is, but he's Korean. So okay, in terms of like domestic talent or like homegrown talent, the South mid lanes are weak. And I think we might have done Miru a disfavor, honestly, because I think he's been too used to crushing the mid lane. So he didn't know what the hell to do against Quad. And same thing with Kaze, right? We saw this a little bit when Red played against Cade in the South Grand Finals. When Kaze just couldn't win against Miru, things started going south for Red Canids. And then now against Quid, who's better than Miru. like you said, Atomic Bomb versus Coughing Baby. So kind of rough for Red there, but well-deserved win from 100 Thieves. I am very curious, because 100 Thieves keeps scaling, like what their final form is going to look like. Can they actually take games off FlyQuest if they keep scaling?
I think that there is a high chance that they can. That'll get us into predictions coming in for next week. So great segue there, RMC. Let's just cover it right now. None of us have VKS picking up the series. I have 100 Thieves 3-0-ing them. Badger, you got a 3-1. RMC, you have a 3-1. So both of you think VKS is at least good for one game.
Yanni's not here to beat me this time.
What was that?
Yanni's not here to bait me this time.
Yeah, okay. So, but here's the bait. Here's the bait that I'll tell the audience and everybody that I told RFC also. And it's public information. It was on Pros. Trimby was talking about it. But in scrims with VKS versus 100 Thieves, they had a scrim block where they 5-0'd 100 Thieves. So that's where a lot of Brazilian casting talent was very confident about Red versus 100 Thieves. That did not pay off. We'll see. Because stage games are very different than scrim games, obviously. I imagine 100 Thieves were trying a lot of different stuff in those scrims, because obviously what they did against FlyQuest did not work. They need to figure out new things to beat FlyQuest. I'm imagining a lot of those new things have been pulled out in scrims lately, which would lead to bad performances in scrims if you're practicing new stuff. But I guess RMC's not taking that bait of the 5-0. But where do you see that one win for Vivo Cade coming in?
Like, I don't think Cade is a bad team. Like I said, I do think they will and can bounce back. So I'm expecting Coach CL to have prepped like at least something up his sleeve to kind of throw a little bit of a curveball. And if it just does come down to straight team fighting, we saw it with Rid. Rid could match hands with 100 Thieves. The hands weren't the issue. It was everything else besides the team fighting. So I'm trusting that Cade will have a better sort of macro prepared. Problem is, I think 100 Thieves will also have things prepared. Like the way they lane swapped, I think, was really, really well played and prepared. And again, Quid probably going to beat Miru, and I think that's going to be a massive problem. So yeah, I think Cade just win one off of like a hidden ace, and then that's probably all they have up their sleeves.
Okay, fair enough. And I mean, that would be the last time to show a hidden ace as well. Yeah. Because like they need to win series here if they want to make it to finals. Obviously, they'll still be at Worlds, though, so we all think that they will be our third seed. That means it's 100 Thieves rematch versus FlyQuest in the finals. And we all have Fly 3-0.
I mean, 100 Thieves can take one. You know, I'll give 100. I'll give 100 one. Like,
okay,
the scaling, all right. The scaling. Also, they have this ability to suck specifically North teams to go and just try and match their hands, and then they don't. They screw up in that chaos.
They that do have a habit of doing that. Yeah, that's a good point. I still just like, after what we saw last time and what we saw from specifically Gakko's, we don't know if it's going to be Bwipo or Gakko's playing, but I don't think it really matters either way. I think that Dokla is the weak link on 100 Thieves right now. Maybe Ayla as well, because sometimes Ayla just has oopsie moments in games. But Dokla is the one where like he just gets overconfident. He has this really funny play. I mean, I know they're already 2-0 in the series, but he's on Syad and he like is dirty farming topside and then ults into the Red's base and tries to engage behind. And like, obviously they're already dominating and like they're just having fun at that point. But like, Dokla's the type of guy to do stuff like that where he just gets really aggressive. And I think that Gakko's or Bwipo can easily punish him for that. But if it is Bwipo, we know that Dokla will be hungry and angry because what we saw in the finals last time, refusing the fist bump, you know, having a lot of words to say about his opinions on Bwipo. So, For that reason, I hope that he gets a chance to rematch. But I think for the community's sake, that a lot of we would rather just have Gatko so we don't have to acknowledge Bwepo, based on recent statements that he has made.
I think mechanically, it'd be more interesting for Gatkos as well, because I think Gatkos is he felt very lane focused to me watching him go up against Bol, where like he gets big leads in lanes and kind of just snowballs from there. Dokla feels like the same sort of player to me, where his laning is his strongest point. So I'd be down to watch the two of them just kind of focus on their laning and just top lane be an isolated island.
You know what? I think it would be exciting for that reason, but also because then Dokla can also make jokes about how, like, you know, Bwepo just was too scared for the rematch or something like that, you know?
Hey man,
no matter how you spin it, the narrative will be good.
We shouldn't make fun of people. There's certain times of their life, you know, that they might not be playing properly, you know, due to things that might affect
them. Oh, no.
Whipple's just in that phase right now. That's all.
Yeah. He's having a tough time right now. Yeah. Deservedly so. All right, but that is it for LTA. We all think it's going to be FlyQuest first seed, 100 Thieves second seed, Vivocade third seed going into Worlds. And we think FlyQuest are still just hands down the best team in the region. But a region that has not even determined who their top three teams are is LEC. Let's hop across the pond to Europe, because they didn't have any games this past weekend, but they will have three series this coming weekend. I believe, it's going to be Friday, Saturday, Sunday as their finals weekend kicks off. Bit of a gauntlet run for the teams on Friday. If they want to win that championship, they'll have to win three best of fives in a row. It will start off with Fnatic versus KC, and we don't all have KC. I think it's going to be a close series. I'm still not convinced by Fnatic. I know that they were able to 3-0 GX, and that was last time I doubted them. I know they pushed MCOY 2-5 games, but man, they just don't look like they're a team that's all on the same page, and I think that KC will have a little bit more, you know, team, like this team's just been together a little longer, and they seem to work together better. But that being said, I think Kalist, if anything, he's gotten like a little worse. I know that I'm probably going to get death threats for saying that. So I think Kalist just needs to get his head back in the game and do his job. And that should get them across the finish line. But I still think it can be close. Badger has a KC with a 3-1, so a little more confidence. But RMC, you got Fnatic winning it. Why do you think Fnatic take this one?
Look, I know all year KC has had Fnatic's number. I get it. But this is Worlds. And this is LEC, and it's always about legacy and history for them, right? So surely Fnatic's going to make the insane like T1 run.
I believe. If you believe in legacies, dynasties, kings, yes, all that
dynasties,
stuff.
That was the one I was missing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They can make the run. So you'd, you know, going against the grain there, and it continues, because next up, it's whoever wins that first series is going to go against MCOY. I have a 5-game series with that, and MCOY taking it versus KC, which also, by the way, Fnatic KC, the winner of that is going to Worlds. So that would be, the very least, the third seed. I think it's going to be KC. RMC thinks it's Fnatic. Whoever wins that goes up against MCOY. I have MCOY taking a 3-2. Badger has a 3-2 as well. RMC, you believe in the narrative.
Yes,
you got
Fnatic
going to finals with a 3-2 win over MCOY.
But it will be 5 games. These two teams keep matching up, and their series do get spicy. So I'm hoping and expecting a 5-game series. I do think it could go either way. I just like the narrative. And when it comes to LEC, all my predictions are always just narrative based.
And Fnatic should have beaten them last time. JoJo had to pull a miracle play out of his ass to get one of those game victories. So I actually do think Fnatic would be favored going into this match. I just don't think they're going to make it to the match. We'll see what happens. So that's a fun prediction. Badger, any thoughts on why you have a 5-game series between MCOY and KC? Because you and me are in agreement that it's going to be that matchup.
I just think it's one of these has to go 5 games, and this just seems like the one that is most likely. I mean, you get the French versus Spanish, you know, war again. We gotta narratives. It's going to be in Madrid, you know.
That crowd's going to be crazy.
You got to remember that this is in Madrid, so they're going to lose their shit for
Could you imagine Spain beating France in Madrid.
Yeah, that's yeah.
That crowd would go ballistic.
I'm sure the blue wall will show up there anyways. Just as
the blue wall.
Oh no, they will. There. And there's gonna be vibe. Okay, wait. New predictions. Are the cops getting called on the stadium?
I feel like we did this the last time, and you—that was your big prediction last year. Was multiple.
And I was right.
Yeah.
According to the shady reports that I have, that were never officially confirmed, but I just believed them because somebody told me that it happened. I was like, hell yeah.
So I'm predicting they won't get called because I predicted Fnatic to be there. So the blue wall. Won't
oh
be
wait,
present.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's all right. Well, yeah, easy prediction for RMC then. But no matter who you have it, whether it's Fnatic beating KC going to Worlds, KC beating Fnatic going to Worlds, whoever beats McCoy or if McCoy beats them, none of it matters because all three of us are in agreement. Similar to NA, doesn't matter who steps up to the Kings, they will not hit. G2 have a sweep across the board for our predictions. I got a 3-0. RMC's got a 3-0. Badger has a 3-1, so you think that Koi's good for a game against them, but regardless.
G2 does a little bit of trolling in these games. Let's be honest. You got to remember who we're talking about here for a second.
True.
I mean,
and McCoy just took a game off of them in the upper bracket as well, so there's like very recent context for it.
Yeah.
RMC, did you have a thought there?
No, I was agreeing with you. Like that, McCoy did take a game. Right? Again, my predictions are different because I had Fnatic going through, so I don't think Fnatic takes a game.
So, you have the big narrative of the dynasties, kings, legacies, and then still a sweep. That's such a boring way to end your prediction trade. What the hell?
Yo, you gotta respect history. There isn't a five-game bag. When was the last time we had a five-game bag between Fnatic and G2?
That's a really good question, actually. I have no idea, but it's got to be like at least a couple of years. All right. Well, that's our predictions, at least. Let us know in the community Discord whether you agree or disagree. Will the Kings and Dynasties continue, or will a new winner come in? Because it would be a big deal for World's first seed. When's the last time we didn't have G2 as EU's first seed going into Worlds? I feel like that has also been a long time. Some teams will win other splits, but when it comes to summer split, the important one for Worlds, it really is G2 that's always stepping up and, you know, able to pull that one off. So, yeah, that's expectations, and that is also, that's it for this episode. Wow, this was a fast episode, guys. This might be a record. This is like 45 minutes into it right now. That's crazy.
I mean, six
collective games to cover from the weekend. So, I think that's where we're at this point.
How about then to close out, just to pad the runtime a little bit here, let's all say our favorite current champion that we're playing in League of Legends. Are you guys still playing the game that we talk about every week? I feel it shocks me how many people just don't even play the game anymore. They just watch. Yeah. I've been playing a lot of Bard lately. I've been picking that up again in my repertoire and having fun with it. What about you, Badger?
I moved back to mid lane because I'm playing with a team in LBLCS right now.
Oh, I've heard about how fun that is. I want to get a team signed up for that,
so,
especially in the offseason.
So
if there's like another
tournament.
Points
leagues are weird because the vast difference in teams. Like the team that we're playing this week, they have like a diamond top laner, and then the rest of their team are like silvers, golds, and like one plat player. So I'm just like, all right, cool, whatever. But like, so I've been playing a bunch of Embessa and Sylas, just like trying to learn like melee champs again because I played ranged for so long. But there's a time that I played the game with Korean text and like audio on just because I was like haha funny, like playing on my second account, like my Game Pass account, to like learn how to play the champions, and I just was like, okay, this is fine. I never knew Embessa's healing was on her ult and not like on one of her base abilities. So I'm like, huh, why am I like losing this trade? Why am I not healing at level 4? And then I realized I'm stupid and I never read the tool text properly.
Yeah. That's an important one to remember. Well, hey, I do like the melees in the mid lane. And Embessa mid is cheesy as hell, but based on the matchup.
Viego mid is work. About to be the thing that I dip my toes back
into. Oh, no, because, don't take the quid bait. Don't do it.
It's good, though. It's so good. It's good at low elo because people don't know how to punish melee mids.
All right, I'm moving on. RMC, what have you been playing lately?
Oh, well, I haven't been playing League very much recently, but in terms of like...
Ah, you're one of those.
Yeah, I am one of those. But in terms of like watching, Silas definitely is up there for me right now, watching Quid kind of pop off with it. And I feel like there's a lot of good mid-laners that can do that. In terms of... I've been playing a lot of Riftbound, though. So my favorite champion Riftbound right now is probably Victor. He's not very good. I just enjoy spamming like recruit tokens with him because I use like minions as recruit tokens. So
I still have not done a lot of research into Riftbound. For anybody who's not aware, been living under a rock, that's the new trading card game that Riot's putting out. I have not done a lot of research at all. All I know is that the like learn to play decks are pretty underpowered. Yep. And for me, that is a challenge. So I know that I want to build a Garen deck and just try and break it if I can, because apparently that's like the best of the learn to play decks, but it's still like lower powered compared to the other ones.
I mean, Master Yi is actually meta right now.
Master Yi is one of the learning ones?
Yeah, so it's Master Yi, Annie, Lux, and Garen. Garen is hopeless, but Master Yi is. It's like the inverse of League, where Garen's actually playable, and Master Yi cannot work in...
That's actually really funny. I do like that. Oh, also, here's another way to pad the runtime. Looks like Bickle just hopped into the document and put his predictions. He has 100 Thieves 3-2 over VKS and also FlyQuest 3-0. So we all still think FlyQuest crushes it. And then for Europe, he just put KC 3-1 and then MCOY 3-2 and then G2 3-0. So almost the same predictions as myself. Almost the same prediction as the Badger, actually. Yeah. The Badger just has... Koi winning a game versus G2. So shout out Pickle for just getting predictions in there. Cool. All right, well,
watching RMC? Valor and Champions?
No, we're not talking about another game. You got me on Riftbound because I'm a card game guy. You're not getting me on Valorant, though. if everybody could please leave a review, and I'm bad with numbers. RMC, could you help me out here? How many stars should they leave us if they feel so inclined to take the time to leave a review?
They should leave one star for each game the North won this last weekend.
Six. Wow.
Yep.
I mean, I'm bad with numbers, but I don't know if you can leave 6-star reviews. But you know what? I'll trust you. 6 stars, everybody. Please, if you could, find a way to break the scaling system there. It really does help us get the podcast noticed, even for shorter episodes like this that we have less to talk about. Next week, though, we'll obviously talk about the finals for LTA and LEC, and then we'll also have the promotion tournament for LTA North and LTA South that we can start talking about there. So we'll see more of the or preview some of the teams and what to expect from them in terms of power level and who might be able to step up to Disguised and Estral. But with that being said, thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. This was a shorter episode, but a fun one regardless. Make sure to tune in and cheer on the LTA teams in Dallas this weekend. If you're going to be in Dallas, I will be there as well. Come say hi. I just got it confirmed. I will be casting on Saturday. So this is my first ever stadium cast. I've done stage hosting before. Yep. Thank you, guys. Thank you. I've done stage hosting before, so a lot of you have probably seen me at events, but this is going to be my first time actually casting one of the series. So, big moment for me. The highlight of my career. I mean, like, this is by far the biggest thing I've been able to do in my career. So, cross my fingers. Here's to just not blow it, you know? But you got this. If you see me there... come say hi. Ian will also be around, our editor. So if you remember that trombone guy, all the tromboners out there, make sure to say hi to him if you see him in the audience as well. But most importantly, even if you're not going to be there, just remember that we love you and we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.